Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to the Chaperi Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. Our guest today is Connie McReynolds, a woman with an amazing and much-needed mission, a mission to change the entire face of this country in 20 years by remedying the loss of human potential to the condition we know as ADHD. Welcome, Connie. Thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you, Vivian. I'm glad to be here.
So, Connie, you have 30 years of experience as a certified rehabilitation counselor and also a PhD in rehabilitation psychology from the University of Wisconsin, and you have written a book entitled Solving the ADHD Riddle, which is number one in 8 categories on Amazon. That sounds like a fantastic accomplishment, especially for all the people that you're helping. And I want to ask straight away, Connie, what is the riddle?
The riddle is the misperception and the belief that ADHD cannot be resolved. But actually, you have to look at it through a different lens. Medication really doesn't work, and behavior intervention doesn't work for quite a few people, and there's a reason for that. Instead, what we can do is learn from what's going on and develop a tailored intervention from that reality.
Well, let's get straight to the point then, Connie. What do you see through the different lens?
The root cause is one thing and the diagnostic labels are another. The behaviors that we observe in people generate the diagnostic labels, such as ADHD. But the root cause is actually something different that I uncovered over the past 15 years. So what we've actually done is found a way to decode the behaviors using a different assessment approach so that we can get to the root cause in about 30 minutes.
Ooh.
In other words, what's really going on underneath so many of these labels, such as learning disability, cognitive impairment, ADD, ADHD, when we run this assessment with our assessment, computer-based assessment, we can literally peel back these labels and discover that underneath this there are very specific auditory and visual processing problems. And these processing problems are actually what are affecting comprehension, stamina and focus, concentration, memory, causing distractibility, impulsivity, affecting organizational skills and follow through.
That is quite a list, Connie. It sounds like a list of everything that matters when trying to be functional at school, at work, and in life.
Exactly. And that's the thing. We get stuck, when we are getting stuck with the labels and the categories that have been so broadly expanded that almost anyone can be labeled, yet really the label isn't telling us much about the person. So if we've got medical providers, they spend typically a brief amount of time and perhaps administered medication because the behaviors are seen as intractable and that medication could reduce the undesirable behaviors. However, the medication doesn't actually improve the underlying root cause. And parents will often come in and say, you know, this doesn't feel right. We're talking about the medication track. And then those same parents are astounded by the accuracy of our assessment process. So once I have the assessment results, I give the parents constructive tools for working with their child, and we can prepare a tailored intervention for them.
Now, you're mentioning children and parents, but this isn't only an issue for children, right? I mean, this is a missed issue in numerous adults as well.
Yes, that's right.
And can you give us an example of how you have helped an adult then?
Yes, I can. There was a man in his 50s who came to my clinic some time back explaining that he was actually in dire straits. He indicated that he was yet again on the verge of being fired because he simply couldn't remember what his boss was asking him to do, and his boss thought he was being negligent or, you know, worse than that, lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so my assessment really revealed that he had very poor auditory processing skills, which meant he couldn't remember what his boss was actually telling him to do. And when I gave this information to him, he literally broke down in tears. He said for the first time he realized that he really wasn't dumb or stupid. He thought he had been all these years.
So we used our
process called neurofeedback, and we tracked his progress. And generally, we do about 10 or 20 hours of brain training. At the end of that, his memory was working. And he said he really felt like he could pay attention now. He didn't feel like he wasn't smart and that he could succeed better at work now.
And he kept his job?
Yes.
Oh, it's unbelievable. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It must have felt miraculous for him. And you saved his job and his livelihood. And here's the thing, Connie. You say the issues lie in auditory and visual processing. Can you explain what you mean by auditory and visual processing?
Yes, and I think it's so important to first recognize we're not talking about hearing or vision. And so people typically kind of go straight to that. So let's begin with auditory processing. We've actually witnessed this difficulty even if we didn't know what we were looking at. And a common example is, let's think about a child and give their child instruction, but the child doesn't appear to listen. We repeat the instruction, but still the follow-through just simply isn't there. And parents and teachers and adults around these children often really conclude that the child is just willfully not paying attention. In other words, that it's willful bad behavior. But in reality, the child cannot pay attention if these auditory processing problems are there. The child's brain is not able to hang on to what is being said. And once we as adults comprehend this, it changes everything else. As I've said, a child, it makes no difference. It's the same theory and application regardless of age. When we think about visual processing, this can be an easier one to also recognize. For example, a child who looks really disorganized, can't find the backpack, can't get the toys picked up. And adults, it's, where'd I put my keys? And so there's a theory that a lot of accidents perhaps happen because of visual processing issues. And sometimes we just call this forgetfulness, or we think we're absent-minded. What's really going on with visual processing is the brain is not able to hang on to what's happening. So visual processing problems can even cause children or adults to bump into things, knock into things, trip, because the brain is not processing the visual cues in their life. How many people lose their car keys and then think that, oh, my gosh, the brain's going bad or I'm losing my memory? But what if it's a processing problem that isn't working? So what we've learned in psychology and education is that we already know that there are these visual learners and auditory learners, so we know a little bit about these categories and their differences and their impact. What we've done is to go on to identify really 37 areas that we're assessing. And we look at things such as a vigilance score. And so what does this look like? And for auditory attention, this looks like the person who drifts off. They maybe are not able to get back on track. And this person has difficulty going back and forth or gets lost in conversations. And so through this, there's really this piece that we call an attention score, which is the ability to stay on track. So this can affect people with reading. So children can struggle with this through reading. They can struggle with being able to follow along in the classroom, or for adults, follow along in real life. And so it's really something different than an intellectual issue. We've had children who are geniuses, but they're still failing in school. So by not remediating the processing issues, the difficulties can manifest as dysfunctions in life, and people simply don't know what to do about it. Parents don't know, adults don't know what to do to help themselves.
And I'm sitting here just listening to you, like every word is so precious to me because I'm a teacher and I teach adults and I see these issues, and these adults that I'm teaching, they're set up for difficulty because they've had bad experiences in school. Now they're coming into my classes, which are in alternative medicine, essentially, and in a field that's not really professionalized. So they're able to get away with a different style of learning, but my material is content-heavy and very much more like going to college than the other courses in energy healing are. And I'm noticing their difficulties and also how they relate to me. And I'm seeing that they've got a history of these kind of issues and have never been helped and are still struggling with it. And they're quite resourceful, and so it can be covered up. But then when you get down to the nitty-gritty, there's difficulties. So, Connie, what advice do you have for teachers, someone like me?
Mm-hmm. Well, really, it's understanding whether we're dealing with auditory or visual processing or a combination of both. So in my book, in the chapters on auditory processing and the chapters on visual processing, I've included checklists. And so I recommend that people start there. There's also a free brief assessment up on my website, and people can begin there to understand, am I dealing with auditory or visual processing problems? The checklist will, I think we've got 10 or 12 different areas that people can look at to see which area they tend to fall into. And once you understand that, then you have some sense of how to interact with the world. The person has a better sense of what to ask for. They know where their strengths are, and then they can ask for support in their areas of limitations or weakness.
And is there a way to address these limitations and weaknesses? Is there a tool? You have a tool, don't you, that can actually remedy some of this?
We really do. I've been doing this for over 15 years now. And it's called neurofeedback, which is also known as EEG biofeedback. So we run this assessment on the front end. We're looking at these 37 areas of auditory and visual processing. And we're also looking at 9 areas of memory, conceptualization, and sequencing. We pull all the data points together, and then also I've met with the person or the parents to learn how their lives are affected by this. And we develop what's called a training plan for the neurofeedback. And so we're using really low-impact video games and the training plan, usually 2 or 3 times a week for 30 minutes. We do 20 hours of that training typically. After 10 hours, we reassess. And what we're able to do is really dial in on those areas of weakness so that the individuals can strengthen that, much like going to the gym. The good news about this program is once we get the brain trained, you don't need to keep coming back. We can get rid of hyperactivity, and we can strengthen all these other areas, and it's measurable. It's evidence-based for our data.
So the person can process better, whether it's visual or auditory, and their behaviors change. So this is,
yes,
this is truly not just managing. It's actually remedying.
Mm-hmm.
And did you say 20 hours? That's all it takes?
That's all it takes. Some people can get done in 10 hours. We've had children who've been able to move through the program pretty quickly. We have other folks, every brain responds a little bit differently, and so some people might need 30 hours. But typically, we can get most of it done in 20. We can see really good changes for the majority of people in the 20 hours of training. And we always reassess after 10 hours. So it's a standardized approach, it's evidence-based data collection, and I'm gathering information from the person, the parents, about how their lives are changing as they're going through the process. And we see changes. Families see changes. Children sometimes will see it, but they don't know how to describe it. So many times it's the parents are saying, you know, we're having fewer behavior problems. We didn't have to fight over homework last night. Or a spouse will say, you know, my husband remembered to get all the groceries on the way home from the grocery store the other day. And they celebrate that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is saving marriages, saving family life, saving children's lives. I mean, a life with processing difficulties is completely different from a life without processing difficulties.
Yes.
It's phenomenal. What
it
is
makes
the occurrence,
difference.
Connie,
mm-hmm.
What's the occurrence of these processing issues in the population? Do you know?
You know, I think it is much higher than most people recognize. We have had an uptick in certainly the diagnostics of ADD, ADHD, and people debate that. I do too, as to whether, you know, we're just categorizing people because they're struggling. But if they're struggling, there's something going on. And so I think that we have so many adults in the workplace who have no idea why they feel like they have to work harder than everyone else. And if I can't remember what someone is saying to me or showing to me, I'm actually just going to default to think I'm not very smart. Children do the same thing, and they become very brutal toward themselves when they can't do what they see their peers being able to do. They always will go to saying, I'm not very smart, and they're very unkind. They will use far harsher language with themselves, and so do adults.
So what could or should a teacher or a friend say if you're noticing these kind of processing issues? I'm sure we have to remember that the person may be aware in one way but not so aware in another way. You know, it's difficult, isn't it? What do we say?
It's very difficult. And I think part of it is, you know, compassion, realizing that most of the time people are not engaging in willful neglect of what someone's asking them to do. And so we tend to categorize behaviors that we don't like as something being negative, and this person just doesn't care, they're lazy. We use these terms that are very derogatory, either to them or in our own minds, without understanding what the true condition could be. What if this person literally cannot remember what I have said? What if this child who has a disorganized bedroom and backpack and loses the homework every time, and 5 minutes ago you had it in your hand, where did it go? And they don't know. This isn't because they're trying to get in trouble. It's because they cannot process this information. It has nothing to do with their intelligence, and again, nothing to do with their hearing or their vision. And so compassion, understanding, looking at the behaviors and decoding the behaviors instead of blaming the behaviors, we really have an opportunity for a huge shift in this area.
Yeah. You know, you seem to have such a grasp of the topic, and you've got so much experience with this. What's your background, Connie?
Mm-hmm. Actually, my background comes from vocational rehabilitation and rehabilitation psychology. So I've been a rehabilitation counselor for over 35 years, focusing on helping people who have various types of limitations by identifying their strengths and finding the workarounds to those limitations. So my master's degree was in rehabilitation counseling. And my doctorate is in rehabilitation psychology from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm also a licensed psychologist.
I like Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, did you? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm a licensed psychologist, and I also am a certified vocational evaluator.
There's a lot of qualifications. And the amount of experience you have with your neurofeedback tool, how long has that been?
Yeah, so I've been doing this for over 15 years now. So we have done job saves, employment restructuring, and it's really an opportunity to help people map out where they need to go, steering them toward their strengths and away from their limitations.
It's very encouraging what you're saying, Connie. I can see why you say this could change the face of this country and probably the planet, because so many people are affected by this. Let's talk about how people can get hold of you on the Internet and what all you have available, your business and so on. Tell us about that.
Sure. So up on my website, it's under my name, www.conniemcreynolds, which is conniemcreynolds.com. And my company is Morningstar Educational and Psychological Services. And the title of my book is Solving the ADHD Riddle, The Real Cause and Lasting Solutions to Your Child's Struggle to Learn. And the link is on my website where people can purchase that.
So let's go over that again. So tell us again the name of your business. It's Morningstar what?
Morningstar Educational and Psychological Services.
And then your name, conniemcreynolds.com, and the title of your book, which is number one in 8 categories on Amazon, and that's because people are being helped by this book, not because you're doing some kind of enormous marketing of it. And that title is Solving the ADHD Riddle, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the title of the book. Yeah. Wow, this is really something. I've got a bunch more questions for you that we can explore after the break. Everybody know we are listening to Connie McReynolds, an expert in helping what we commonly call ADHD, but turns out it's more likely to be auditory and visual processing issues. And Connie assists both children and adults with these processing issues using a neurofeedback tool that gets absolutely fantastic results on average in 20 hours. So please join us again when we come back after the break to hear more from Connie and more about this fantastic solution to a problem that's extremely common and affecting all of us.
Imagine taking a journey with metaphysical teachers and spirit guides right in your own home. Well, now you can with Vivian Chopra's book, Everyday Magic. Everyday Magic helps you understand your life from new perspectives as it guides you to feel motivated to take control of your life and your future. Get Everyday Magic today at Amazon.com, or for more information, visit Chopra.com or call 513-891-8062. That's 513-891-8062.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
CrystalHealingTechniques.com is the place to learn crystal healing, and there's even some free courses and certification. CrystalHealingTechniques.com has courses from beginner to advanced, and you'll learn from a master crystal healer. Explore new and unique material as you learn from the amazing award-winning textbook, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery. So discover the world of healing through crystals at CrystalHealingTechniques.com. Visit CrystalHealingTechniques.com or call 513-891-8062.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
If you like this program and you want to hear more of the Chopras, then tune in to their YouTube channel called Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. There's demos, meditations, interviews, and more on their YouTube channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. So relax, enjoy, and learn unique material as you watch the Chopras in action. Visit today on YouTube and remember that channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. Do it now. There's a respected metaphysical academy that's been around for over 22 years and it's still going strong. If you're interested in energy healing, crystal healing, developing intuition, or shamanism, then the Four Winds Academy for the Healing Arts and Sciences is exactly right for you. With in-person and online classes and full certifications, their experienced teachers work with you and take an interest in your progress. To find out more, visit fourwindsacademy.org. That's the number 4windsacademy.org. Or call 513-891-8062.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Hello and welcome back to the Chopra Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. Our guest today is Connie McReynolds, author of Solving the ADHD Riddle, which is number one in 8 categories on Amazon. Connie, thank you for joining us here today. Shall we continue discussing this life-changing topic?
Yes, and life-changing it certainly is, so let's do it.
So, Connie, to review for our listeners, you've had a very long career in vocational rehabilitation, and I'm wondering, what made you interested in ADHD?
Well, it actually goes back quite a long ways. My mother taught second grade for 32 years in the same classroom, so I kind of joke I grew up in second grade, and I heard various stories about children in her classes who were struggling.
That's a particularly interesting answer to me, Connie, because my brother was diagnosed as hyperactive, my older brother, he was 3 years older than me, And this would have been in the 1960s, and the teacher even tied him to the chair because he kept jumping up and wandering around the classroom. But the big thing was he was also having a huge amount of trouble learning to read. And, you know, my mom could tell he wasn't a stupid kid by any means, but he just wasn't learning to read. And so she got frustrated with the teachers, and she decided to take matters into her own hands. And she bought a book called Why Johnny Can't Read. And she followed the protocol laid out in the book, and she successfully taught my brother Michael how to read. He never did learn to spell. I mean, it was sad. He couldn't even spell his name. His name was Michael, and he'd ask me over and over again, A-E or E-A. But he did learn to read, and his favorite subject became history. And I was old enough to remember, and I was old enough to watch and observe that process, and it was very striking. So I'm not surprised that hearing your mom talk it kind of sent you on a life path. But still, how did this all develop for you?
Well, as I mentioned, I've actually worked in the world of with people with disabilities for, gosh, close to over 35 years now. Then about 15, 16 years ago, I came to California, which was hired at a university and asked to build an institute. And in that process, a colleague was sharing with me his results that he was achieving in another county here using neurofeedback, and he was actually helping children learn how to read. And so I positioned myself with the administration, and they wanted to support the project. So we set up the clinic inside the institute with the aim of two different groups. I had worked in my doctorate program with veterans with PTSD, and then I really knew for sure that children with ADHD needed a lot of help. And so we served children and adults. So the two real specialties here are dealing with trauma and ADHD, and I published in international journals based on our research and our ability to affect change on both of these subjects.
Are they related in some way?
Well, it's about processing. There is some overlap with the auditory and visual processing problems across both groups of people. So underlying a lot of these diagnostic conditions, in about 85 to 90% of the people who've come through my clinics, we have actually found they are struggling in some way with auditory and visual processing. So we tackle all of that at the same time. And so with this, then we're able to really help them mitigate these underlying barriers that may have been leading to some of these diagnoses. Now, trauma is kind of its own thing. So with trauma, it's an event-situated response pattern that gets locked into the brain, and that's probably a whole other show to talk about the amygdala system and really what happens to people with trauma. But the good news is, with the neurofeedback, we are able to calm down that part of the brain, and most people have lasting results with that.
Oh, and it is a whole nother show. We'll have to talk about that. But back to the topic at hand, it does seem like a miracle of empowerment that you are offering, and I do have two questions. My first one is about how ADHD affects everyone, not just the person with the processing difficulties.
Yes, we can really probably say that everyone is affected in some way by people with processing difficulties. We have students in the classroom, we have coworkers, we have college, and of course we have our family members.
And then it's very, very hard for someone who doesn't have processing issues to understand what's going on for someone who does have processing issues. Is that right?
Yes, indeed it is, because I do see that as the core problem, really a lack of understanding. And this happens to spouses and parents and teachers and colleagues. It's everywhere.
I have to admit again, as a teacher, but also as a family member of people that have had processing issues, I can admit that I find it both a baffling and a really frustrating condition to navigate. So in one way I understand, and in another way I just don't understand. And you know what I've done? I've said to myself, Vivian, remember, you can't do calculus. And just remember, that's what it feels like. In fact, I used this with one of my clients whose mother is clearly has auditory, if not visual as well, processing issues. And I said, you know what? It's like us looking at a page of calculus. We just feel helpless. We don't even know where to begin. And so that's what I kind of am instructing myself now in order to be more compassionate and understanding. And when I said that to her, it really helped her. She said, oh, my goodness, that must be terrible. And I said, yes, exactly, it is. And I just have to say to myself, Vivian, remember, your brain can't do calculus. And this person's brain, they can't do something that your brain can do. You know, it's no use being critical. It's no use getting frustrated. Make a plan. Mm-hmm. So in line with that, Connie, what can say a spouse of someone who has these issues do to make a difference?
Well, it's really a critical part in relationships. It's about really understanding and having compassion. And when we can move to compassion by really pulling back from the blaming, as if they're willfully or, you know, intentionally being inattentive or disorganized. So this way you can avoid kind of that tug of war where you're really pulling against each other.
Mm.
We want to have people find ways to work together, which really requires patience. We can identify where the weaknesses fall, then we can make a different plan. So, for example, if there's auditory processing, what if I texted my spouse instead of calling him to bring home the bread and he brings home the milk instead? Maybe I text, and so he has it on his phone. If you want better results, then we really do have to get to a different plan. We have to understand the behaviors instead of just pushing back or fighting against that. Most people just want their life to work better with their spouse, and the situation really isn't going to be helped if we get angry or upset because they forgot something once again. We really have to change how we look at things and how we play to each other's strengths. The same thing goes in the workplace. If there are visual processing issues, don't be doing charts, for example.
Well, so Connie, this is fantastic. Can you tell us again how to get hold of you?
Yes, absolutely. So my website is www.ConnieMcReynolds, that's ConnieMcReynolds.com. The link to the book is up there. The free brief assessment is there. And if people sign up for the newsletter, they can get the first three chapters of the book, Solving the ADHD Riddle, for free. And I promise I won't fill up your inbox.
Thank you, Connie. And I wonder if you could just state your personal mission again. I do love it that you have a personal mission, and I'd love for you to state it in closing for this conversation.
Yes, thank you. My mission in 20 years, we can change the entire face of this country if we could remedy the ADHD situation in boys and girls alike.
Oh, thank you so much. We have been talking to Connie McReynolds, author of Solving the ADHD Riddle, here on The Chakra Show. Thank you for joining us. And when we come back after the break, Neil will be giving his report from the spirit dimension. Please join us again.
CrystalHealingTechniques.com is the place to learn crystal healing, and there's even some free courses and certification. CrystalHealingTechniques.com has courses from beginner to advanced, and you'll learn from a master crystal healer. Explore new and unique material as you learn from the amazing award-winning textbook, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery. So discover the world of healing through crystals at CrystalHealingTechniques.com. Visit CrystalHealingTechniques.com or call 513-891-8062.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices, and it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you like this program and you want to hear more of the Chakras, then tune in to their YouTube channel called Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. There's demos, meditations, interviews, and more on their YouTube channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. So relax, enjoy, and learn unique material as you watch The Chakras in action. Visit today on YouTube, and remember that channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. Do it now.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
There's a respected metaphysical academy that's been around for over 22 years, and it's still going strong. If you're interested in energy healing, crystal healing, developing intuition, or shamanism, then the Four Winds Academy for the Healing Arts and Sciences is exactly right for you. With in-person and online classes and full certifications, their experienced teachers work with you and take an interest in your progress. To find out more, visit fourwindsacademy.org. That's the number 4windsacademy.org. Or call 513-891-8062. Imagine taking a journey with metaphysical teachers and spirit guides right in your own home. Well, now you can with Vivian Chopra's book, Everyday Magic. Everyday Magic helps you understand your life from new perspectives as it guides you to feel motivated to take control of your life and your future. Get Everyday Magic today at Amazon.com, or for more information, visit Chopra.com or call 513-891-8062. That's 513-891-8062.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hi there. Welcome back. You're listening to The Chopra Show, and I'm Neil, very pleased to be sharing with you my shamanic journeys to the spirit realm and reporting back on the guidance I received directly from the spirits. The purpose of this journey is to travel to the spirit realm of the upper world and ask for guidance around the question of how does judgment interfere with the development of our consciousness. So I'm climbing up this black rope, and as I climb, I feel the rope is itself being lifted upwards. So the spirits are helping me right from the start. And I'm going up, and I'm going up, and I come eventually to the top of the black rope, and I see that it's actually tied around the banister of these pink rose quartz steps that I've often come to before when going to the spirit realm of the upper world. I see a familiar pair of large doors, almost like very large church doors that one would expect to see on a cathedral, and I go inside. And immediately I'm told that the church, and this is really just a shorthand for organized religion or religious dogma, has promoted being judgmental. This judgmental attitude has been promoted and encouraged, and in the Christian sense, it's often in terms of being judged a sinner. And then we in turn so often judge others. So we feel judged, and in turn we judge. And the spirits say that judgment is brutal. It's a brutalization of ourselves and others, and our consciousness is stunted by this, just as a plant would be dwarfed by treating it badly, by abusing it. And judgment is actually a form of abuse. Now, these are pretty strong words that the spirits have given me. I haven't yet seen a spirit in the upper world, but in this cathedral-like space, the information is just coming directly to me. So we're damaging our own souls when we are judgmental of ourselves. And they're saying it doesn't mean we can't think of ourselves in terms of understanding how we are getting in our own way and how to be less so. Because that's understanding, that's insight, that's compassion, whereas judgment is abusive and damaging. Just as, for example, if one was responsible for the development of a young child and the mental health of a young child, and one was being continuously critical, later in life, the child would probably have emotional issues. So consciousness could be seen as something that in its non-damaged, non-abused form, in its developing form, is expanding. It's very spacious and light and airy and creative, and it's a beautiful consciousness. But a consciousness that is damaged by judgment is compacted and small and hard and lacking in true creativity, and very importantly, the spirits say, lacking in self-love, and love for others gets damaged. I repeat my request, and the spirits expand by saying that a stunted consciousness is one that is so focused and caught up in itself that this has been caught up in our small self, the very egoic version of our souls, which can be expressed as selfishness and lacking in compassion. So judgment takes us into the small self, whereas if we're not consistently being caught up in the egoic small self, then that's virtually a definition of an expanded consciousness. So a non-egoic consciousness, a consciousness that encompasses or connects to the universe, is a spacious consciousness. Self-judgment is very, very painful. It's like damming the flow of a river. It's a constriction, and you could say that healthy energy gets backlogged and stuck in the sediment, and pressure builds up, and there's not a release of toxins. The spirits say judgment is toxic, and judgment puts us into such a restricted and constricted sense of criteria when we are judging ourselves. We are restrictive in what we are selecting to be judgmental about. So judgment is reductionist. We reduce people to something much smaller than who they truly are. In contrast, an expanded consciousness has got a perspective that who we truly are is sacred and connected to God, connected to the divine. When we're judging, we're very haughty. It's very arrogant. Who do we think we are to be able to make judgment about others? We really don't know the whole person, and we're judging very selective aspects of them and not considering the whole of them. The very act of judging is going in the direction of rejecting. When we judge, we are rejecting ourselves, and when we judge, we are rejecting others. Judgment, in a way, is actually saying no to life and saying no to existence. Judgment is a fight with existence. And how can we have an expansive, developing consciousness if we're saying no to existence? This seems like a very profound guide, and I'm actually quite in awe of this spiritual teaching. The spirits say that being judgmental is like giving a thumbs down to isness, which is something I've referred to on previous journeys. It's also, you could use the analogy of, it's like putting a weight on a hot air balloon. Our consciousness can't soar, can't float, can't do what it's inherently supposed to do if it's weighed down by the baggage, the weight, the anchoring of judgment. A developing consciousness is very light, and the spirits give me this beautiful image of a cloud of butterflies gently flapping their wings and gently floating upwards, beautiful colors expanding. And they say that with judgment, one is restricting one's perception. So that's another aspect of being judgmental, that we're not going to be understanding any situation in its fullness. If there's going to be any judgment anywhere, it's in the context of God. God will decide. How could we possibly put ourselves in the godlike role of judging? Now, we could say, for example, I don't feel comfortable in this other person's presence. I find it hard to relax with this other person, where one is making it about one's own perceptions and one's own emotions, not a judgment about the other person, but actually information about one's own perception and beliefs and biases. But of course it's challenging because we are habitually inclined to judgment. We've been on the receiving end of judgment as children, as students, and we are giving what we have received. It's a very strong habit. And the more we are in habit, the more we are restricting the development of our consciousness. The spirits say, be real, don't judge. Don't interfere with our sacredness by being judgmental. The spirits say, to know thyself is not to judge ourselves. And at this point the drums change, it's perfect timing, so I head back down towards the rose steps. I see the black rope, I can hold onto it and slide down very easily back to the mountain ledge. And I thank the spirits for this really, really extremely interesting journey and for giving me the guidance that I requested. Thank you, spirits. So thank you. You've been listening to Neil of the Chakra Show, and we're going to go on our break now. And when we come back, Vivian will continue with messages from Crystal.
If you like this program and you want to hear more of the Chakras, then tune in to their YouTube channel called Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. There's demos, meditations, interviews, and more on their YouTube channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. So relax, enjoy, and learn unique material as you watch the Chakras in action. Visit today on YouTube and remember that channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. Do it now.
You have too little time to shop. So try Farm Fresh to You. They deliver organic food the way nature intended, delivered straight to your home or office, economically. Visit our web advertiser page and click on Farm Fresh to You now.
There's a respected metaphysical academy that's been around for over 22 years and it's still going strong. If you're interested in energy healing, crystal healing, developing intuition or shamanism, then the Four Winds Academy for the Healing Arts and Sciences is exactly right for you. With in-person and online classes and full certifications, their experienced teachers work with you and take an interest in your progress. To find out more, visit 4windsacademy.org. That's the number 4windsacademy.org. Or call 513-891-8062.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
Imagine taking a journey with metaphysical teachers and spirit guides right in your own home. Well, now you can with Vivian Chopra's book, Everyday Magic. Everyday Magic helps you understand your life from new perspectives as it guides you to feel motivated to take control of your life and your future. Get Everyday Magic today at Amazon.com, or for more information, visit Chakra.com or call 513-891-8062. That's 513-891-8062. CrystalHealingTechniques.com is the place to learn crystal healing, and there's even some free courses and certification. CrystalHealingTechniques.com has courses from beginner to advanced, and you'll learn from a master crystal healer. Explore new and unique material as you learn from the amazing award-winning textbook, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery. So discover the world of healing through crystals at CrystalHealingTechniques.com. Visit CrystalHealingTechniques.com or call 513-891-8062.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Hello and welcome back to the Chakra Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. This is the part of the show where I, Vivian, talk to stones and talk about stones. And our stone guest today is andalusite, also known as schiastolite. I was a little surprised when andalusite said it wants a turn on the show and wants to be next, because I haven't really interacted with andalusite much in the last 12 to 15 years, which is quite a while, and it isn't included in the crystal surgery textbook, but it was most certainly an old favorite back in the day. I remembered it as having amazing properties, but I couldn't remember anything specific, so I looked it up, and oh my goodness! Andalusite sounds like a panacea stone from all the descriptions I came across, because I looked in Melody, but then I also looked on the internet, and it was nothing short of a miraculous stone. And actually, it caused me a lot of skepticism. How can it be doing all that, I wondered, because it sounded too good to be true, and it didn't seem possible. The range was inexplicable. Everything from protection and grounding to sacred spiritual connections seemed to be accessible via andalusite. That was very fishy. We can't just believe everything we read on the internet, in case you haven't heard that before or realized it yet. I just want to emphasize that, and especially when it comes to something like the crystals and what their properties are, because how do we know? Where's the proof? And for me, the proof of the pudding is always in the eating. Good taste, good pudding. Sits well, comfortable, good pudding. So that's how I treat the crystals. See what kind of pudding they make. Let's first describe andalusite itself, because it does have a remarkable characteristic. This remarkable characteristic is the marking of a cross that runs through the entire stone, so much so that andalusite gets cut into slices to reveal and show off this lovely cross formation that earns it the nickname cross stone. It's funny, because in South Africa the word cross means angry. But anyway, cross as in having a cross inside it. In addition to a few of these slices of andalusite, I also have a larger piece that is like an elongated barrel shape, which fits very, very nicely into my hand. As I held this larger piece, I can say that it immediately felt comforting and soothing in a settling sort of a way. And I realized that these panacea-like descriptions may have something truthful to them. Still, I was still skeptical. Lots of stones feel comforting and soothing in the hand, but you know what? I could sense an additional quality. I found myself staring at the stone, turning it over in my hands, and looking at it from different angles. As I did so, I could feel myself slipping into a meditative state that was pleasant in itself. Not only that, I could feel the andalusite nudging my memory. It was reminding me of something. Usually when I'm trying to capture a memory, I feel an edge of tension in myself. But instead of becoming more tense, trying to remember, the andalusite was guiding me to relax more. And as I relaxed, I accessed deeper information. I realized that the andalusite was reminding me of the cross configuration resembles the cut we make in the energy field in crystal surgery when we want to peel back the energy field to work on the energy body. Oh, I thought to myself, I think I'll experiment to see whether this andalusite can heal cracks, fissures, holes and leaks in the energy field. Because if it can, that will explain how it can have that amazing range of properties. For the next week, I tested the andalusite on many of my clients, and I'm very pleased to report that it's a very good pudding. Yes, andalusite does indeed heal cracks, fissures, holes and leaks in the energy field. It also has another capacity. In my sessions, I noticed that when under stress, the center of a chakra can become depressed or indented, developing a hairline crack in the shape of a cross. The andalusite can instantly heal this hairline crack and draw out the depressed center, restoring the spiraled dome shape that is the ideal dynamic of the chakra. This explains how come andalusite has such powerful benefits in so many diverse ways, because it can heal functional dynamics of each and every chakra, and that's going to cover everything. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I have to corroborate this. I can't just say andalusite does this. I'm observing it. but someone else must have seen it. So I went back to Melody, and I also went back to consult Naisha in the Book of Stones. And that's where the corroboration was. Sandwiched into a list of other properties, as if it wasn't a very spectacular and important one, Naisha says on page 32 of the Book of Stones, andalusite can heal energetic leaks, holes, or hooks in the vibrational field. So there it was. When I asked andalusite what message it wants to share with you today, andalusite said this, I'm all about accuracy and focus. When you look at me, you celebrate the cross that you see and go straight to the symbolism of the cross that is spirituality. But there is another cross in modern life that I also represent. The cross that you see through the sights of a rifle when taking aim. The center of the cross is the epicenter of the target. To shoot accurately, you get everything lined up in the sights and then with full attention, which means fully in the present and with full coordination of the physical, the mental, and the energetic, you can pull the trigger and your aim will be true. That is the cross of truth, the cross of reality, the cross of alignment, the cross of consciousness, coherence, and coordination. This is my nature. I am all about becoming beneficially aligned with the realities of life. Andalusite continues, ask yourself, am I beneficially aligned with the realities of life? Am I experiencing any of the miracles and abundance of life? Or am I one of those people who is out of kilter with reality, experiencing accidents and incidents that make me feel like I'm a victim? Life is full of ups and downs. Back on track through intention and strategy, says andalusite. Think about what you really, really want, and then coordinate body, mind, and spirit as you aim for your goal. Thank you, andalusite, for such a clear and empowering message, and thank you, everyone, for joining us here on the Chaperas Show. Please join us again next month, second Friday of the month, and also on demand as we enjoy and experience this big adventure called life.